Okay.
Yeah, we're holding on Chof Gimel Amud Aleph, seven lines from the top. We're in the middle of discussing. The Gemara had started discussing yesterday that there's machlokas Rav Yosef of Yehuda and the Chachamim. We said if a person has relations with a sister who is also his father's daughter, is he chayiv? The Chachamim say he's chayiv on two grounds. Number one, the Torah says you're not allowed to have relations with your sister, and number two, that you're not allowed to have relations with your father's wife's daughter. So she's both, so you're chayiv on both. Rav Yosef of Yehuda argues that no, you're only chayiv for the fact that she's your sister. And we went back and forth. How does each one of them get, each one of them darshins it based on various psukim? We were in the middle of discussing that.
How do it being a full sister or a half sister?
Right, right. Well, we said yesterday, actually, according to the Chachamim, you have an extra word in the pasuk, actually two extra words, the choscha and he, that tell you that that even though the Torah only specifies if it's a half sister, but that it also applies if she's your full sister. You would think it's obvious, but ain't ancient minadin. You can't punish somebody based on a kavah chomer, as you know, sort of like the famous thing they say that they asked Reb Yosef Ber Soloveitchik why he's not yotzei shalosh odos with the Dvar Torah, which there's a day that you can do that. He says, what happens if next week somebody slogs up the Dvar Torah? Then retroactively, I haven't eaten shalosh odos. Same thing over here. How can you punish somebody based on a kavah chomer? What if somebody goes and slogs up the kavah chomer? You punish them for nothing. So therefore, you need psukim to tell us. What we discussed, though, is like this. We say, according to the Chachamim, so you have two psukim, one that mentions your sister, one that mentions Bas Eishas Avicha. So yeah, if she's both, if she's your sister and she's Bas Eishas Avicha, you're going to be chayav on both. We were discussing, what does Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda do with that pasuk, Erbas Bas Eishas Achicha? If he holds that your sister, who usually is going to be Bas Eishas Achicha anyway, if you're only chayav on the ground she's your sister, then what do we need that pasuk Bas Eishas Avicha for anyway? So we discussed, we started discussing the issue.
If you only chayav once.
If you only chayav once, right. So we started discussing that Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda holds that it only, that it comes to exclude if she's your sister, that your father had relations with a goiter, with a shivcha, where then she's not considered your sister l'halacha. Because ain't kedushin tovsin. So we started going through the possibilities. How do we know it means that? We said yes, we left her off yesterday. How do we know? Maybe the Torah is telling you that if she's born from Chayvi Lavin, then she's not considered your sister. And we said no, because Chayvi Lavin kedushin are tovsin. We learn that from the fact that the pasuk mentions a person has two wives, Ahuva and Snua. Snua doesn't just mean that the person hates one of them, because then what's the point of the Torah telling us? Obviously, just because he doesn't like her, therefore you would think you can play favorites among the kids. No, it has to mean Snua, we said, means that the Evishter hates the marriage. She's married improperly. There's an Issur Lav in the marriage. For example, he or she is a Mamzeres. And yet we're saying it's considered that she's married to him. So therefore, we see that Chayvei Lavin can still be considered Bas Eishas Avicha. It can still be considered that she's your father's wife, and therefore her daughter is your father's wife's daughter, and therefore the din of Achoscha still applies to her. That's where we're up to. Question is, Ve'ema Prat L'Chayvei Krisus. Maybe say that this Bas Eishas Avicha, again, if we're saying that Bas Eishas Avicha means, as opposed to somebody that there's no issues with your father in her, and we said that can't mean Chayvei Lavin, maybe it means Chayvei Krisus. Maybe it means if your father had relations with somebody who's chayiv karis to him, his own sister, his daughter, any of the other arayas that it says there in the Torah, and they have a daughter, maybe that daughter is not considered your sister, l'halacha. No, can't say that, Omar Rava, because Omar Kra, erva sachoscha basavicha oy basimecha, the pasuk says the erva of your sister, your mother, your father's daughter, or your mother's daughter, and key phrase, the next phrase in the pasuk, meledes bias oy meledes chut, whether she's born in the house or outside the house. Now, what does that mean? Obviously, it doesn't make a difference whether she's born at home or in the hospital. What it means is, bein she'omer lo la'avicha kayim, whether she's born from the kind of union, from the kind of marriage where we tell the father, go ahead, you can remain married to her. That's called meledes bias, because this woman is allowed to remain in his house and married to him. Bein she'omer lo la'avicha hoitzei, or whether we tell the father, send her away. You're not allowed to be married to her. That would be chayav krisus. V'amar achmana achoischahi, and yet the pasuk either way says achoischahi, she's your sister. So therefore, you can't say, so even if she's born from Chayvei Krisus, which makes her a mamzeres, she's still your sister. Okay, next. Fine, if you're going to go like that, if you're going to say that it means whether we tell your father, keep her as a wife, or whether we tell her, send him away, and we're saying the Torah is saying that she's still considered your sister, well then maybe it does even include if she's your sister from a goita or from a shifcha. Also, your father is living with a goita or a shifcha. Yes, we're saying hoitze, but if you just told me that even when we say hoitze, even when it's meledes chutz, she's still your sister, well then by that logic here also she's meledes chutz. Consider her your sister. And then you have the same issue of anayas. No, because we said omakra, because the pasuk says bata isha sabicha, only if she's the daughter of your father's wife, which again doesn't necessarily mean she has to actually be his wife, lahalacha. It could even mean that they weren't married at all. It could be it was an onus or whatever. But at least it has to be mishi actually issues lahavicha. It has to be that your father is capable of having issues with her, is capable of having a marriage lahalacha with her. As opposed to if she's from a shivcha or a goita where there's no issues, there's no kiddushin or not tofus with them. Okay, the question is, well, shifcha is a shifcha knanis. She's, we're going to talk about soon. A shifcha knanis is chayev in some mitzvahs. A goita is not. I mean, she only has seven mitzvahs menorah. Well, we're going to say, actually, in a minute, we're going to say that Rabbi Yossi Ben Yehuda thinks that there's a difference, and that's why he says you need two separate tzukim for it. The chachamim we'll get back to. But right now, we're assuming that it's all the same thing. But the question is, Umara Issa, what's the logic? Why are we saying, when it comes to this bas Eishas Avicha, the key word Eishas over here, why are we saying that Eishas includes even if the woman is a Chai V'Krisis, a close relative, for example, but we're excluding a Goita? What's the logic? The answer is, Mestabra Chai V'Krisis Havalei L'Rabbis, it makes more sense to include the Chai V'Krisis, Shekein Tapsi Ben Kedushin La'alma. Because after all, okay, yes, the father is not Kedushin or not Tofus with her because she's a sister or daughter or what have you. But other people, Kedushin would be typhus with her. And Kedushin, in other words, are shayach to this woman. This particular person, Kedushin, aren't shayach with her. But therefore, it makes more sense to include, even though she's not, you can't say that your own father has issues with her because she's a close relative, but at least somebody would be able to have issues with her. No, but it means issues, that she's somebody that there would be issues, that somebody would be able to have issues with her. Yeah, that tradition are tofus to other people. Why? On the contrary, be marbe the shivcha or the goita, dekima gairon the day nami tafsi ba kedushin. As what's going to happen, she herself is capable of becoming a full gairus, and then the father will be able to marry her lalacha. As it's even better, in other words, than a sister or whatever, where he can never marry them. The answer is lachima gairus go after nehi. Okay, but if they become a geirus, they're considered, it's a different goof. Like we said yesterday, geirushin is geirus kotnishner l'dami. They're considered a whole new person. So yes, you can fairly say that kedushin are never going to be tofus with the shifcha or with the goita, because if she becomes a geirus, she's a different person already. So therefore, yes, it still makes more sense to say no kedushin are ever tofus with them, with anybody, as opposed to at least kedushin are tofus with his sister or his mother or whatever with other people.
Who becomes free is like
then it's like Eris, right? Yeah. Okay, so far that's according to Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda. V'Rabbanan, what about according to the Rabbanan? Where do they learn this din? This Rabbi Yosef ben Yehuda is learning from Eishes Avicha. The Chachamim are saying no, from Bas Eishes Avicha. Bas Eishes Avicha. The Chachamim, from that word, Bas Eishes Avicha, are learning from that that no, if she's Achoscha and Bas Eishes Avicha, you chayev double Malchus or double Chassus, as the case may be. So where do they know that there's an exception if she's your sister from a Goiter or a Shikha? The answer is, Nafkalom, we have Ishmael Adar, Teil Adonai. We said yesterday, we have a pasuk by an Eved Ivri, that his master was allowed to give him a Shikha Knanis to be with, but what happens when he goes free after the 6 years or whatever, she and her children stay with the master as avadim. So we see that the children follow her, a shivcha. And the chachamim are assuming that the same thing applies to a goita. What would he answer to that? You have that pasuk in Mishpatim, what do you need this basesha sabicha for? He says, chad b'shivcha, b'chad b'avedet kachavim. No, you actually need two ksukim. One to tell you that children from a shivcha are considered avadim, and one to tell you that children from a goita are considered goyim. And in fact, you need both ksukim. Because if we were only told the case of the Shivcha, you would say, you know why the children follow the Shivcha? Because when it comes to a Shivcha, when it comes to Avadim and Shvachot, the father does not count at all. They have no Yichus in the sense that Avadim are not considered, it's considered Lahalacha as if they have no father. We learn this, you know, Avram tells Avram, and we learn that it means imachamur, means amadurim lachamur. They're a people that are like donkeys. Donkeys and animals don't have a yichus. We don't consider zera'av. So by avadim we don't either. As opposed to with real goyim. Now we said yesterday that with real goyim, when they're misgayer, we ignore their father's side of the family. That's why we said that we only ask them to marry their relatives on their father's side, either because we said kedusha kala, kedusha chamura, or because we might confuse them with born Jews. But meikar adin minatara, they'd be allowed to. But when they're still considered goyim, Rashi explains based on gemaras in various other places that we actually find various sukkim that are miyaches goyim after their fathers. For example, there's a king of Babel named Merodach Baladon ben Baladon. There's a king of Aram named Hadriman ben Tavriman. So we see from that when they're goyim, they do have a yichus. Their father's yichus is significant, as opposed to if they were avadim, is not. So you might argue, yeah, with a shivcha, you say the children follow her because there's no father to look at. Mashenkin with goyim, if she's a goyter, maybe you should say, okay, you see by full-fledged goyish families, you look at the father's side as well. Maybe if you have a Jewish man and a goyish woman, same thing, you have to consider the father as well. Yeah. But a goyter who has yichus, you do consider the father's side as well. Aim low, you might think not. Maybe you do look at the father who is Jewish. And conversely, if the Torah had only told us a pasuk that tells us about a goita, you would say, you know what the difference is? Why the children go after her and not after him? Because a goita is not shayach to any mitzvahs. And she has mitzvahs in her, but she's not shayach to any of the mitzvahs of Jews. But a shivcha does have to keep some mitzvahs. Avadim, knanim, and shvachos have to keep all the mitzvahs that Jewish women have to keep. You might think, maybe you do go according to the father in that case. So therefore you need both sukkim, Rabbi Yitzchak Ben Yehuda says. Okay. The chachamim have to agree to that also. You can't just say that you have one pasuk that includes both the shivcha and the avedis chachamim. So v'rabbanon, ashkechon shivcha. Okay, so we have a pasuk about shivcha, ha'yishav yiladea, avedis chachamim menolahu. Where do they know that a child from a goyta is considered a goy, and therefore not considered your brother or sister? You're going to say learn it from a shivcha. You can't. We just said you need both sukkim, and the chachamim have to agree to that. The answer is Amar Rav Yerchanan Mishum Rav Shimon Ben Yochai. We had this last week. Amakra, because the pasuk says the pasuk describes over there that you're not allowed to intermarry with the goyim. That it says ki yosiris bincha me'achra, because he will remove your son from following me. What do you mean your son? Bincha miYisraelus kori bincha. Only your son or your child from a Jewish woman is considered your child. So what is the pasuk saying though? The pasuk is saying that if you allow your daughter to marry a goy, to marry a goyish man, he is going to remove those children who are Jews, your bincha, they're your children, or grandchildren actually, from following the Eivishter. He's going to turn them away from Yiddishkeit. Because otherwise, if it was talking about the case of a goyish mother, then the pasuk shouldn't say ki yosir, it should say ki tosir es bincha me'acharai. The fact that it says yosir implies we're talking about a goyish husband. But if it's a son from a goyter, then it's not considered your son, it's considered her son. So therefore, the pasuk doesn't say ki tosir es bincha me'acharai, because if it's a goyish mother, there's no bincha to turn away. He's not a yid in the first place. The Rambam explains, and we had last week that Tosfos also explains the drasha a little differently. That what we're talking about is that kiyosi me'achra means that he prevents him from being a Jew. So we're talking about if you allow your Jewish son bincha to marry a goita, then kiyosir, he meaning the goita's father, is going to, because his daughter has married your son, that removes this child from being considered me'achra. He's not considered following the Eivishter because he's not a yid. Either way, we learn this idea that it goes according to the mother. And Amar Ravina, Shmami, no, we see from that, Ben Bitcha, Bamina, Avid Kachavim, Kari Bincha. We see from that that your daughter's son, where your daughter had relations with a guy, is still considered your son or grandson. But yeah. Does that mean that Ravina holds Ovid Kachavim Ve'Evid Abba Abbas Yisrael of Lad Kosher? If you're saying that we're calling him Dincha, that sounds like it means that you're calling him appropriately kosher to person. Now, there's actually, in a later part, in a few weeks, we're going to get to, there's a three-way machlokas on this in the Gemara. If we have a person who has a Jewish mother and a Goyish father, there's three possibilities. Either he's considered a Goy, or he's considered a Yisrael, but a Yisrael Mamzer, or he's not considered a Mamzer, but he's considered Pogum. And what Pogum means, the Poskim discuss whether that means that actually they'd be possible with Kohona or not. If this is a daughter, for example, would she be allowed to marry a Kohen? Now the halacha is that the halacha is according to the opinion that they're neither a Goy nor a Mamzer, they are kosher, just Pogum, whatever Pogum means in this context. But based on this, it sounds like Ravina explicitly is saying that Havlad Kosher, and it's not so simple. We see there's a machlokas on it. Apparently, the Gemara knew that in Ravina's time they still hadn't decided the machlokas yet. So what are you telling me all of a sudden he's making such a statement? And the Gemara answers, no, Nehidim Mamzer Lehavi, Kosher Nami Lehavi. No, what Ravina might mean is, okay, he's not a Mamzer, but on the other hand, he's not completely kosher. Yisrael Posel Mikri. We call him a Yisrael who's Posel, which, like I said, some poskim say, for example, that means if it's a daughter we're talking about over here who has a Goyish father and a Jewish mother, that she would not be allowed to marry a Kohen. In practice, I think that is how halacha is passed.
The
Right. Yeah, I think if I remember correctly, in Shulchan Aruch, what it says is he shouldn't marry her, but Mimnitis Loitese. But Yevit, if he married her, I think we allow him to stay married, because it's not an actual matter of halala or whatever, it's just a pekam. But yeah. We talked about the other day, there are actually some poskim who argue that, no, the halacha is actually like the opinion, when we say Havlad Kosher, actually means a kosher to Goy, meaning not a Yid, he would actually have to have Geirus. We talked about the Maharshal wants to say that it depends on the kid's own decision. The Maharit Al-Ghazi wants to say that it depends how the child was raised, whether the Goyish father was actually in the picture or not when the kid was being raised. But most poskim say it's a hiftach nishtan. There's no question that as long as he has a Jewish mother, then he's Jewish. And of course, we know ma'asim b'chol yom, that's how we paskin. So therefore, the point is that therefore there we see though the pasuk is talking about a goyish mother. Again, however we darshan this kiyosu es bincha, that we see that a child from a goyish mother is considered a goy. So there you go. There's your second pasuk. You have the ha'yusha v'yiladeh to tell you about a shivcha, and you have this pasuk kiyosu es bincha to tell you about a goyter. What do you mean? Hi, the shiva omos k'siv. This pasuk is not talking about goyim in general. It's talking specifically about the shiva omos. Kiyiv Yachav Shamalekecha, whatever the Lashon HaPasuk is over there, that's Loisichrus Lam Bris Loisichonim. It's talking about the Shiva Omos, not Goyim collectively. The answer is Kiyosir Rabbis Kol HaMesirim. No, that's true, but the word Kiyosir, that they're going to cause your child to turn away from Yiddishkeit, or according to the Rambam's explanation that he's going to turn away, that the child is not even considered Jewish, comes to include any Goyim who would end up doing that. Any Goyim who are going to turn the child away from Yiddishkeit and so forth. So it's not just the Shiva Omos, it's all Goyim collectively. The Gemara asks, Hanichel Reb Shimon, the Dorish Taimer Dekra. This is good according to Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, we find in various places in the Gemara, darshins the reason behind the pasuk. Namely like this. Reb Shimon holds like this. There's a case the Gemara discussed in Bava Metzia. The pasuk says that we have a person might lend somebody money and then he takes a mashkin. Those who learn Rambam Shlosh Prakim these days, it's a subject currently. It could be either one actually. It could be you take a mashkin at the beginning to make sure your loan will get paid back, or it could be the person is defaulting on the loan, so you're taking a mashkin so you'll get something. Either way, the pasuk says if you're taking a mashkin from a poor person, you have to return it to him every day. If it's something you use by day, then they have to return it to them every morning. If it's something they use by night, you have to return it to them every night. Different pasukim that talk about it. Now, all of a sudden, there's a pasuk in Parashat Kisese that says, "V'lo beged almana." You're not allowed to take as a mashkin the clothes of an almana. Now, why not? But Reb Shimon is dorish taimer dekra. Reb Shimon says, "Let's consider what would be the underlying reason why an almana should be different than anybody else." The logical reason is, we're talking about an almana who's poor. What's going to happen? You're going to have to return her this beged every day. After a while, you're going to have this guy coming every day to the Almana's house and leaving after a little while. People are going to get suspicious that there's hanky-panky going on over here. On the other hand, though, if she's rich, you don't have to return the mashkin every day because she doesn't need it every day. There shouldn't be an issue. So Reb Shimon holds that's what the pasuk means. This letzachol beged almana, we use this timer dekra to limit what the scope of the din. It only applies if she's an ani, as opposed to the chachamim say no.
Plus almana, two reasons.
According to Reb Shimon, it's only the fact that she's an aniya. Well, right, the fact that she's an almana, therefore, right. In other words, if she was a married woman, people might not be so suspicious. Okay, you know, she has her husband around to keep an eye on things. But like this, she's an almana and she's poor, so yeah, people are going to start getting suspicious.
Two reasons.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Where is a chacham hold loyda shit in time? No, we don't hold of any such thing. The pasuk says a sackle beged almana. Period. Doesn't matter even if she's the richest almana. So Reb Shimon darshins time of dekra. Therefore, by the same logic, Reb Shimon then would say that what's the reason why you're not allowed to intermarry with the goyim is because they're going to turn your children or grandchildren or whatever away from Yiddishkeit. Well, then, in that case, we don't need the word ki yasir es bincha. The Torah itself doesn't need to explicitly give the reason because we can figure it out ourselves. If the Torah is giving us the reason, it must be. It's a riboy. It's coming to tell us that includes other nations other than the seven nations of Canaan as well. El Rabbanan Menalahu, what about according to the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan, Faket, would say, we don't normally say time of dekra. If the Pasuk had not specified ki yasir, we taka wouldn't know the reason, and we would say, therefore, just it applies across the board to all goyim. Once it says ki yasir, Faket, we should say, it means only those goyim who are really suspect of turning your descendants away from Yiddishkeit. Who are they? The seven nations, the nations of Canaan, who are really into Avodah Zarah. The Gemara mentions, Rashi quotes over here from a Gemara in Chulin, that the Goyim and Chutz La'aretz are not really so intensely devoted to their Getchkes. So therefore, Fakert, according to the Chachamim, you should argue that no, it's possible that by saying Ki Yasser es Bincha, Fakert, the Torah is limiting it only to the Goyim who live in Eretz Israel. The Goyim anywhere else in the world should be fine. So Elul Rabbanan, Menalahu. So where does Rabbanan know this concept then that if a Jewish man marries or has a relationship, whatever, with a Goyish woman, that the children are going to be considered Goyim? The answer is Man Tana de Polygalei Rabbi Yosef of Yehuda. You know which Tana it is when we started out by saying there's machlokes between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Who is the Rabbanan over here? That is Rabbi Shimon. That is in fact Rabbi Shimon. He is Dorish Taimer Dekra. So yes, he has the words Ki Yasir Es Bincha available to use for all the other Goyishan nations in the world. The other Goyim would disagree with him and say the Loider Shin and Taimer Dekra. They would have to agree with Rabbi Yisrael Bihoda over here. In practice, in general, we do not follow Rav Shimon with this Darshin and Taimer Dekra business. We say when the Torah gives us a din, then that's it. Unless the Torah itself gives us a reason, or unless we have a drasha or whatever that limits the scope of it, then no, it's an absolute thing. In the case of the Almana, you're not allowed to take the mashkin whether she's rich or poor, and similarly in other cases.
In the case of the Almana, just out of curiosity, Rav Shimon wants to Darshin and Reese, wouldn't it be difficult to understand why the first Almana is supposed to think of the woman who's on her own?
True, but also different Torah behavior. The Torah talks about the common case. In those days, it was much more common if a woman is going to be single, it's going to be because she's an almana rather than because she's a grusha. Mishnah says, Mish kiddush achas mishtei achoyes. If somebody was mekadosh one of two sisters, the en yedei ezem ehen, he doesn't know ezem yedei ezem en kiddush. He does not know which one he was mekadosh. Now, on the face of it, there's two possibilities how that could be. One is that, for example, there's a group of sisters standing over there, and he says one of you is mekodosh to me, and we don't know which one. Or it could be that so l'chatchila he himself doesn't know, right? Or it could be.
What about those two?
That's what we're going to talk about in the Gemara.
The two girls, they say we believe we are.
So one is, both of them can't be Mekodesh because Achoz Ishta is author to him. That's the problem we have over here. We don't know which is the one who's Mekodesh to him and which is the one who's author.
They both must probably read it. They're both.
Not necessarily, because it could be. No, you can't have a kaddish against their will, but it could be, for example, that one of them accepted it on behalf of herself or of her sister, and we don't know. It could also, you know, a more straightforward case might be, we know a father is able to be mekabel kedushin for his daughters when she's a kana or a naira. So you could have, he goes over to the father and says, I want to be mekaddish one of your daughters, and we don't really need to specify which one. We'll talk about that in the Gemara. That's one possibility. The other possibility is that he knew lechatchila he was mekaddish Rachel, but now afterwards he got confused. He's getting ready for the chasana, and in the press of things he forgot who his kala is.
Well,
that's
never
met her. Yeah, that should also be. Yeah.
What's
that
name again? When people forget the ring, they forget the kala.
You know. By the way, maybe we shouldn't be going too far off topic, but you know the story where the chassan comes into town and there are two mothers-in-law trying to claim it.
Yeah.
You know the one.
I never heard of that.
Oh, okay, so you know it's one of those things where the shidduch was made, the shidduch was made long distance. Mm-hmm. Now the chassan is coming into town for the first time to meet his kala shortly before the wedding, and he's getting off the train, and two women are waiting over there, and each one thinks that he's her daughter's chassan. So what do? They wind up, they go to the Rav. The Rav says, we got to do like in the story of Shlomo HaMelech, two women claiming the same baby. You got two women here claiming the same chassan, we got to cut them in half. And like in the story of Shlomo, one of them starts screaming, don't, fine, let the other woman have him for her daughter. And the other one says, no, gam li gam lach lo yigzeru. And the Rav says, the second one is the real mother-in-law. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So he doesn't know which one he was Makadish. Let's keep in mind that we have these two possibilities. One where Lachatchila you don't know who it was, and one where you knew and then you got mixed up. Noisin get Lazur, get Lazur. So you have to give each one a get. Because each one might be your wife. So you can't marry the other. You can't, and you can't say you're going to give one a get and then marry the other, because Isha Lachosa Lezika, as long as they're alive. So only if one of them dies can you marry the other one.
Mm-hmm.
Only if one of them dies would you be allowed to marry the other one. If you give one of them a get, you can't say you can marry the other, because the other might be Achoy Tishtei.
Could you marry one of them?
No, you can't. Because you... If you're married to a woman, you're also to marry her sister,
right,
as long as she is
but
alive.
But as long as I know I'm not married to this woman. I could go
here we have a suffix. Which one you're
Makadosh?
No, it doesn't matter. When you give, if a person divorces his wife, he's still also to her sister as long as his ex is alive. Okay, another case. Mes v'loy achechad. What if this person who is not sure which one he was Makadosh or whatever, we're not sure which one he's Makadosh to, he dies and he has one brother. Chalitza l'shtei, and then this one brother has to do chalitza to both women. Same thing, because he doesn't know which one is the yavama. And again, here we have a different issue. Here again, we can't say you can do chalitza to one and do yibum with the other, because midrabanan, the same way as we're saying minatora, you're not allowed to marry your grusha's sister. Midrabanan, the same thing applies to your chalitza's sister.
So the guy died, he didn't get the chance to give a gift.
Right, we're talking about, yeah. So this minatoria, you're not allowed to marry your grusha's sister. Midrabanan, you're not allowed to marry your chalitza's sister. So here you have the same problem. If the brother does chalitza to one, how do we know he did chalitza with the right one? If he did chalitza to the wrong one, then the other one, then fine, the other one is the yavama. But if he did chalitza to the right one, then her sister is still also as a chalitza.
But to one would be the right procedure, to the second one.
Right, so one is going to be a real chalitza and the other one is just going to be a fake chalitza, but you don't know which one is the real one or not. No, there's no bracha by chalitza, as far as I know. What if this dead person has two brothers? Fine, echad chalitza ve'echad miyadim. One can do chalitza and the other one can do yibum. Because once one of them does chalitza, fine, both of them are now, then both of them are now also to him, but fine. Either way you look at it, the other guy will be the other brother will be able to do yibum. If she's his yavama, good, just because his brother then did chalitza with the wrong one, so it wasn't a real chalitza. So if this one is his yavama, good, and if it's the sister, once his brother did chalitza, there's no zika anymore. There's another issue which we talked about before, and we're going to talk about again, which is called achoitz gukasai. That you're not allowed to marry achoitz chalitzasai. You're also not allowed to marry achoitz zikukasai. If you have a zika with a woman, with a yavama, then you're not allowed to marry her sister. So in this case, we have to consider the possibilities. Either he has a zika with one of them. He has a zika with one of them. We don't know which one. So zika is a requirement to do chalitza or yibum. One of them has to do chalitza or yibum.
Either chalitza or yibum.
Well, one of them has a zika, which in principle means chalitza or yibum.
Right.
In this case, neither of them can do yibum yet, because she might be achois ishay or whatever. So what we do is once one of them does chalitza, then we're good. We took care of the zika problem. If the one he's going to marry now was the original Yavama, then good. He's marrying his Yavama. And if she wasn't, then we're not worried that she's achois chalutzase because he didn't give. She's not achois kukase because at this point he doesn't have a zika with her anymore. His brother did chalitza that took away the zika. Kadmo v'kansu. What if the two brothers went and married both women without checking with Beis Din? If they had checked with Beis Din, Beis Din would tell them one of you has to do chalitza and the other one can do yibum. One of you has to do chalitza with one of the women, the other one can do yibum with the other one. What happens if they didn't ask Beis Din and both of them went, one of them married one and one married the other? And then we're not going to force them to divorce her because each one has a valid claim. He can claim, you know what, I married the one that I'm allowed to marry.
But maybe it's one of them is wrong.
No. Well, one or the other of them might be wrong, yeah.
Why one of the person to give the...
No, because that's the thing actually. Because what happens if the first one married the proper Yavama,
not a problem.
If the first one married the proper Yavama, then fine. The other one was never married to the dead brother in the first place. So he's just marrying a Nachriya, an unrelated woman. Fine, no problem. You have two brothers married to two sisters, not a problem.
Right.
What happens if he married the sister? At that point, it's true she was Osir, but once his brother comes and does the yibum with the other one, who in that case is the right one, then that takes away the zika retroactively. Retroactive. So even though normally we wouldn't allow them to begin with, but here where first of all they're married and second of all the whole thing was only a suffix, then we'll allow them to stay married. As opposed to, by the way, Mefarshim point out in the previous case where there was only one brother. If he does yibum with one of them, we will force him to divorce her because there you can't say there he doesn't have room for saying that maybe I did the right thing.
If a case like this wasn't a suffix and they still got married, look, you still say retroactively.
Well, that's the thing. Normally we wouldn't say that the zika is taken away. The mafreya. That's why they shouldn't get married like a chila. But if they did, that's when we're saying because they're already married, because the whole thing was only a suffix, then fine, we'll let it slide, yeah. Next case. Shnayim Shekidshu Shnei Achoyis. What happens now? You have two people who were Mekadesh, two sisters. These two people are not related to each other. We're not talking two brothers. We're just Stam two people. We're Mekadesh, two sisters. Somebody had a great line on this online. It's obviously a double date that went very wrong. Zeinia day is a kiddush or Zeinia day is a kiddush, and now neither one knows which one he was in the kaddish. Yeah. Zenois and Shnei Gittin, Zenois and Shnei Gittin. So again, in a straightforward case, each one's going to have to give two Gittin, because either one of these women might be his wife. And again, he can't marry the other one for the same problem. It would be Achoy Skurstrasse. Nesu, if these two people who did these questionable kiddushin died, lozeach v'lozeach, each one has one brother, zecholitz l'shtein v'zecholitz l'shtein. And again, each one has to do chalitza to both of them. Same idea. Yeah. Lozeach v'lozeach shnayim. Now, what happens if one of them had one brother and one of them had two brothers? Hayachid cholitz l'shnein. The single brother has to do chalitza to both of them. V'ashnayim echad cholitz v'echad miyabim. And the two brothers, again, one can do chalitza and then one can do yibum and there's no problem. And again, Kadmo v'kansu, if they jumped the gun and instead of asking Beis Din, these two brothers went and did yibum, and Matzi and Miyadim, we're not going to make them divorce them, same idea as before, because the whole thing is only a suffix and each one can claim it was a valid marriage.
The fact that in this case one of the brothers does yibum, even though it may not have been his brother's wife,
then if it's not yibum, then obviously it's regular marriage, but we think of it, we're thinking that it's yibum. Yeah, no, because Either way, remember that midrash banan. Even with Yibum, you have to do kiddushin anyway. We call it mimer before. So either way, he's still gonna have to do mimer and go through the whole process. Yeah.
Why do we need this case?
Then tomorrow we'll talk about it.
So it becomes kedushin if it's not kedushin. Then you will become kedushin.
No, minat torah you don't need kedushin. Minat torah the yavam does not need to do kedushin with the yavama. The expression of the gemara is mishamayim hiknuvay salai. That it's minashamayim that she's already automatically
okay,
established. Midrabanan, midrabanan. Minat torah all you need is bia. Midrabanan you need mimer as well. You need kedushin as well.
She becomes his wife anyway, even if it's more than his yavama.
Well, once he does Kedushin and once Yevon, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Next, Lozeshnaim, Lozeshnaim. What if each of these people who did the Suffolk Kedushin had two brothers? Achiv Shalzechol Leflachas. What we do is one brother from one side does Chalitza with one of the women. The Achiv Shalzechol Leflachas, and one of the brothers from the other side does Chalitza with the other woman. Then Achiv Shalzeh Miyavim Chalutzase Shalzeh. Then the brother from the one side is able to marry and do Yibum with the Chalutza of the other one. Meaning his the one that his brother did Chalutza with, he can now do Yibum with her because however you look again same similar to before however we look at it, either the Zika had been taken away by his Chalutza or she Bechlal never was in the picture. And the other brother, similar, they can do Yibum with the other one that his brother did Chalitza with.
Yeah, but why do they have to give the Yibum? If Yibum Chalitza two procedures, you could do either one, right?
Right, but the point is, we're not saying they have to do Yibum. We're saying once one brother from each side did Chalitza, the other one, if he wants, can do Yibum.
He doesn't have to.
He could do Chalitza at that point, but there still is the Suffolk after all. She still might be the Yavama, and then you have the problem of Yavama Lashuk, that she's not allowed to marry anybody else without having had Chalitza.
She needs Chalitza
from both sides, though, because what if she was Niskadish?
No, I'm talking about one side.
No, that's what I'm saying. She got Chalitza from one side, but that's the thing. You still need...
The case is
over here. You have on one side there's three brothers, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi.
Yeah.
On the other side there's Moshe, Aaron, and Elazar. They've each one. Reuven and Moshe were Makadish, these two women, the Suffolk,
yeah.
And we don't know which one is which. Now what we do is like this then. So Shimon does Chalitza with Rachel.
Right.
And then what happens is, however we look at it, if Rachel was in fact Niskadish to Reuven, then fine, the Chalitza has taken care of that Zika. She's now allowed to. So now Levi is able to go and marry Leah without it being a problem of Achos Skukase because the Zika has been removed. He's allowed to marry the second one, Leah. He wouldn't be allowed to marry Rachel because she might be because if Shimon did a proper Chalitza with her, then she's also to all the brothers. But he can marry her sister. And vice versa, yeah. So therefore, we've covered all our bases. Again, Kadmu Shnayim B'Cholzu. If two of them went ahead and did Chalitza, Lo Yiyabmu Ashnayim. Meaning, if two brothers on one side went and did Chalitza, Lo Yiyabmu Ashnayim. Then the two brothers on the other side. Should not do Yibum with the two women. You still need one to do Chalitza and one to do Yibum. Again, because you still, even if the two brothers from one side did Chalitza, who said that they did Chalitza with the right one, she might have been the sister rather than the one who was married, who was in the Scottish, Lachtchila. They did Chalitza on both, sure. But it's only Shimon and Levi did Chalitza to both. So if she was in fact Niskadish to Moshe,
right.
You still have the problem.
Right.
Shimon and Levi didn't do a true Chalitza with her because they weren't related to her Bechlal.
Right.
So therefore, you're still going to have among Aaron and Elazar, one of them is going to have to do Chalitza before the other one can do Yibum. Ela echad chalitz vechad miyavim. And again, kodmah v'kamsu en v'sin miyadim. But yevet, if they went and did Yibum, or what they think is Yibum, then we're not going to force them to divorce them because again, they have a reason to claim that both of them did it properly.
Because they would cover one of the.
Because we could say that there's still possibilities over here that I married the Yuvama and I married her.
Two brothers, they do two chalitzas to this lady.
No, the two
chalitzas. One of them did a chalitza.
Well, that's what makes her mutter l'shuk now, right? Well, no, not necessarily, because we're saying what if she was never so they did chalitza to both of them, right? So whichever one is the yavama is now mutter l'shuk, sure, but you know that still leaves the other side still has to do their thing with the other one to make sure that she's mutter l'shuk as well. By doing a chalitza.
Which one,
that's the thing. What we say is they have to do chalitza with one of them.
We don't know for sure.
So therefore,
they can't get married, both of them.
Both of them can. Lachatchila, only one can marry. The other one is going to have to do chalitza.
But one of them are not free.
One of them got freed, and the other one is going to be doing a real yibum. Then, yeah.
Both of them could get married.
One can get married by yibum, and the other one can get married l'shuk, can get married to whoever she wants. Yeah.
But not both.
Because you can't.
After chalitza, you could go.
No, that's the thing. So that's the thing. B'di'evet, we're saying that since B'di'evet, each of these men, Aaron and Elazar, can argue. One can argue. I'm marrying the yavama, and the other one can argue. Okay, once my brother married the yavama, that takes care of the zika. Now it's not a problem of a chuskukasoi. So I can go ahead and marry the other one. But lachatchila, we don't allow them to do that because there's still the possibility that that things may have gotten switched around. So the Gemara starts asking, which is what you started asking, Yaakov. In this case, if you makadosh like that, is it bechalal kedushin? Shema amino kedushin shein misurin labia havu kedushin. You're telling me then that a kedushin where it's never possible for bia to happen from them are considered kedushin. This is machloikus abaya and rava in masechta kedushin. A case like what we were describing before. A person goes over to a man and tells him, I'm being makadosh one of your daughters. And it's lo nimsur labia because since achoyz ishto is also tim minator, and we don't know lachatchila which one is, he can never consummate the marriage, exactly. And so machlokas abaya and rabba there, whether such a thing is machlok considered kedushin.
Why it's also?
Because
he
didn't name a specific girl, so you have Rachel and Leah. So it's possible he's miscaddish to Rachel and Leah is also to him. It's possible he's miscaddish to Leah and then Rachel is also to him. Now, so it's a machlokas, a Abaya and Rava there in Kedushin, whether that's Bechlal considered Kedushin.
Right.
According to Rava, it's not. According to Abaya, it is. Now, this is one of the six cases that Halacha is like Abaya, so the Kuf of Yao Kagam. But still, Rava wouldn't have said his shita if it's contradicted by a Beferish Mishnah. It sounds like our Mishnah is saying Kedushin to Lenim Surah Biyah are considered Kedushin. That's why he's saying he needs to give a get. That's why we have all these issues with Chalitza and Yibum. If we were to say like Rava that it's not Bechlal considered Kedushin, then he would say it's no problem. The Kedushin are never Chal in the first place, and then everybody can go. The answer is no. No, but you know what? The case we're talking about over here in the Mishnah is where Lachatchila you knew who you were engaged to, and then you forgot.
Either
the father of the girls and you yourself, the chassan, or b'chalal. It's not a case of the father of the girls. It's a case where you yourself went and were makadosh rachel, and afterwards you mistakenly say you forgot whether you were makadosh rachel or leah. Yeah, I guess so. That could also be, yeah. The Gemara says, Dekanami. In fact, we can prove that from the words of the Mishnah, the Katani Ve'eni Yedea. The Mishnah says he doesn't know. But like Katani Ve'eni Yedua, it doesn't say it's not known. The first case where he's makadosh, where lachatchila suffik would be any yadua, nobody ever knew lachatchila which one it was. He or she doesn't know. Well, he, meaning, and all the other parties who are involved over here don't know. But at one time they knew. Shmami, now that proves it. Okay, the Gemara asks, "My kamash malan." Okay, what's the chiddush of the point that the Mishnah is saying you have to give a get to both of them? Obviously, he doesn't know which one he's makadosh to. There's no question. The answer is safer, it's Yuchalai. True, but the reason the Mishnah mentioned it is mainly because of the safer. And we said, Met v'loy ochacha, that if he dies and he only has one brother, cholit l'shtein, we said the brother has to do cholit with both of them. And we said that even b'di'evet, we're not going to allow him to marry one of them. And we said, cholit shnayim, if he has two brothers, echad cholit v'echad miyabim, that one has to do cholit, and then the other one can do yibum, which means, davka michlot v'hadri yibumi. It has to be in that order. First, the one brother is going to do cholit, and only then is the other brother able to do yibum. But you can't do first the yibum. Because you could have a problem. The one who you're doing what you think is yibum with might really be the sister of your skuka, and the sister of your skuka is also to you. In other words, if he was really makadish, if it turns out that really he was makadish rachel, and now you're going and marry, and then you have you the brother have a zika with rachel, you're going to be going and marrying Leah. That's achoy skukasa. Can't do that. Therefore, only after one of the brothers does, only after your brother goes and does chalitza with Rachel, which disposes of the zikah, then you can go marry Leah. Because either way, either Rachel had no zikah because she wasn't the one with Kaddish, and then you're doing a proper yibum with Leah, or Rachel was the one with the zikah, and once the zikah has been taken away, there's no issue of a chalitza kosei anymore.
Yeah, this is the one brother, two brothers, whatever it is. Yeah.
No, but that's the difference. If there's only one brother, you can't say that. If there's only one brother, once he does chalitza with her,
yeah.
Then once he does chalitza with both of them, he can't go marry either of them.
So
because,
do chalitza with the first one?
No, because if he does chalitza, what if the one he did chalitza with wasn't the one?
He has to do chalitza with both of them.
He has to do chalitza with both, and once he does chalitza with both, they're both also to him.
Right.
Yeah.
And if two brothers, you do chalitza with the one.
That
right.
One can do chalitza with one, and the other one can do yibum with the other. That's what he said. Yeah. And then we have the case shnayim shekidru shtei achoyes chula. That if we had two people who were makadosh two sisters, and again the Gemara asks shemamin a kedushin shein b'surin l'viya have a kedushin. Again, it sounds from our Mishnah a kedushin shelo nimtzur l'viya, because again here you have neither of these people, Reuven or Moshe, is possibly going to be able to consummate their marriage because of the same problem. She might be an ashes ish, and it sounds like have a kedushin. And again, the answer is, no, this case in the Mishnah is also talking about where originally you knew, each one knew who were their Niskadish to, and afterwards they forgot. Again, same deal as before. In that case, my kamash malon. So then, what's the chiddush? Mela, the first part of the Mishnah, we said, okay, we have the chiddush is not so much that he has to give a get to each one, but the whole business about what you do with yibum and chalitza respectively. The second part of the Mishnah, we have two people involved over here who were two people who were each makadish, each of the two women. Then it sounds like the same thing. The answer is sefer etzuchale. Again, we need the sefer. The chiddush is the sefer. Meisu, we said if they die, lozeach or lozeshnaim, we said if one of the people who did the suffix kedushin has one brother and one has two brothers, hayachad cholot l'shtein, we said the single brother has to do chalitza with both of them, vashnaim echad cholot vechad miyavim, and as for the two brothers on the other side, one can do chalitza and one can do yibum. That's the chiddush. And the Gemara asks still on that, pshita hainu reisha. Well, of course, that amounts to the same thing as the ratio. We said if he has one brother, he has to do chalitza with both, and he can't marry either one. If he has two brothers, then one can do chalitza and one can do yibum. What's the difference? Whether you're talking one family or two families? The answer is The answer is ma'u detema ligzer trei otuchad. You might have thought that we should make a gzera the two. On the side we have three brothers. We have the one dead brother and the two surviving brothers. Maybe we should ask one of them to do yibum after all, because you might confuse him with the other side, where people might think if on the other side they have to do chalitza and they're not allowed to do. No, if I can't, people might think if on this side where there's two brothers, one is allowed to do yibum. Maybe on the side with the one brother also he's allowed to do yibum, and that would tackle the author. Kamash Malon, that's the chiddush that we don't make such a gzera. And again, v'davka michlat v'hadu yibumi, it has to be done on the side with the two brothers, davka in the order first chalitza then yibum, alv yibumi b'rei shalai, again, he can't do yibum first, d'kapaga b'yibum on the shuk. Here it's the opposite, here it's a different problem. Not, we said before, it might be a chos kukasai, here the problem is the one that he marries might still be a yibama of the other family. And then she's not allowed to marry anybody outside the family, like siyesh ha'meis ha'chutza. Therefore, one of the brothers on this side needs to do chalitza to take care of that problem. And then once he's done that, then the other brother is allowed to marry her. We said lozeshnaim. Then we have the last case of the Mishnah that if both of the dead people, each one of them had two brothers, and we said that again, each one from each side you have one chalitza and one yibum being done. The question is hotu lomali. Isn't that the same? What do we need that case? Hainu hach. Essentially, it's the same case as before. The answer is, again, you might think you should make Zera that you're not going to allow them to do Yibum, because what happens if they do the Yibum without the brother having done Chalitza? Kamash Malon, that we're not worried about that. We're saying, what would happen if one of the brothers on this side, for example, does Yibum with one of these women without his brother having first done Chalitza? She might be, it might be a proper yibum because maybe she was niskadish to his brother, but on the other hand, maybe not, because maybe she's yivama l'shuk. She's a yivama from the other family, and she's not allowed to marry you. You might think, therefore, you should make a gzera. Don't allow him to ever do yibum, because you might mistakenly think you might forget to do the chalitza. You might forget to do the chalitza first. Especially, I mean, people are normally used to the idea that it's chalitza or yibum. Like this, if you're allowing him to do yibum, people are going to think, what am I calling chalitza?
Why couldn't he do if he does chalitza first? She still could be yibum for mother family. Why you let him the second brother, right? That's what we're saying.
That's why we're saying that each one has chalitza from one side. Each of the women has been given chalitza from one side.
Can you repeat what do we say?
Yes. So we said that Shimon is going to do chalitza with Rachel.
Number one, yeah.
And that takes care of, if she was in fact his Yuvama, then that takes care of the Zika, and now her sister is mutter to his brother. Her sister is not mutter to him. But her sister is still mutter, is mutter to his brother. And similarly, Aaron does chalitza.
What the second brother? Second brother.
Second brother.
Second blue brother.
The second blue brother is Shimon.
Shimon.
So he does chalitza with Rachel.
Okay. The one that died.
Reuben is dead.
Okay, so Shimon
and
Levi
now can do Yibum with Leah, because however you look at it, either if Leah was the one niskadish to Reuben, then he's doing a proper Yibum. And if Leah was the sister of the Skuka, fine, now that the Zika has been taken away by Chalitza, then he's allowed to marry her.
But maybe she is a woman from other families.
That's why she needs Chalitza. That's why she also needs Chalitza for
but
the other side.
But if you do Chalitza only to Rochel, she could still stay a woman from... This Chalitza is taking care of the Rochel.
But that's the thing. The Chalitza from Aaron takes care of Leah. Again, however you look at it, if she was in fact Moshe's wife,
in the Seder, first yes. Does chalitza.
Well, they can do chalitza at the same time to the two women. After the two chalitzas, they can do the two yibumim. Yeah.
To either one.
Right. No, not to either one. To the other one, the one who.
The first two guys did wrong chalitza through the wrong wages.
If it's the wrong women, then they'll chal with no kedushin over there. So now they're doing yibum. No, because here, think of it, for example, if Rachel, if Shimon's chalitza to Rachel is nothing, because she was never niskadish to Reuben, well then, Leah was the one who was niskadish to Reuben, so now Levi is doing a proper yibum with her.
So it works out.
Okay. But you might think, I mean, normally you never hear of such a thing where you have a yibum and chalitza. So you might have thought then. You might have thought. Rashi says, "Ofi l'mema, my lord of all chalitza." People might think, if we're going to be doing yibum anyway, what do we need chalitza for? That's the chiddush. All right. Guess we'll leave the rest for tomorrow. That's the same.